Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Fetched away. Good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Tuesday, 16th of June, 2020, from Manx Radio. 30-minute look at the latest news on the island, plus background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. No new confirmed case of C19 for the 27th day. Fingers crossed for tomorrow, the magical 28th day. The Chief Minister says the state of emergency will end next week. Swimming pools are going to be open on Thursday, but no flume at the NSC. Contact tracing for business will soon go, but what about the data that's been collected? And Tindall looked at the Laxey flood report today.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Alex Watton.
Fastamai, the island is creeping ever closer to registering 4 weeks without a new coronavirus case. Today's update, issued at 4 o'clock, shows that once again, the total number of confirmed cases in the Isle of Man remains at 336 for the 27th day in a row. The island's borders will remain closed after the state of emergency ends early next week. Many measures introduced during the COVID-19 pandemic will disappear, following Chief Minister Howard Quayle's statement in Tynwald today. However, others will remain, including the requirement for people coming to the island to self-isolate for 14 days. The spending of almost £12 million has been unanimously approved by Tynwald members to build a new care home in Douglas. Summerhill View is set to offer greater dementia care. Health Minister David Ashford today asked Tynwald to approve the spending for the facility at the former Glenside home. Further afield, the UK Prime Minister and footballer Marcus Rashford have spoken on the phone about extending the free school meal scheme over the summer. The government's reversed its decision and is now going to provide vouchers in England following a public campaign by the Manchester United star. UK scientists say a commonly available drug could be a major breakthrough for treating certain people with coronavirus. The steroid has been found to reduce the deaths of patients on ventilators by a third, but it doesn't benefit people if their lungs are working properly. And there's been a sharp drop in the number of people in paid employment since the beginning of lockdown. Figures show 612,000 people lost their jobs in the UK between March and May. Those are the headlines, news in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goromaya, thank you, Alex, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. The Irish Sea weather shows no warnings, no wind warnings anyway. Lots of drifting mist. Will be dry on the island tonight. Drifting coastal mist, isolated showers coming in on light breezes. The overnight minimum is 11 degrees. Chacrain, Wednesday, tomorrow, early showers, then a dry and bright day. Post lunchtime with light breezes drifting in and some coastal mist and fog. 19 degrees top temperature, down to 13 through the night. And Thursday, Jerdain, a dry morning, then bursts of rain on light winds in the afternoon, clearing through the evening. 19 degrees top temperature on Thursday. Tides on the way back, high waters at 29 minutes to 10 tonight. Sunset 6 minutes to 10, low water 17 minutes to 4 a.m. Sunrise tomorrow morning 16 minutes to 5, and tomorrow morning's high water 29 minutes past 9. Summer starts this Saturday, the 20th. Summer solstice is on Sunday evening at 17 minutes to 10. After that, all downhill to Christmas.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit us at Snugborough to see our range of picture frame glass, mirrors and tabletop glass.
The state of emergency on the Isle of Man, introduced at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, will end early next week. Chief Minister Howard Quayle made the announcement in Tynwald today. As many measures disappear, some will remain, such as the borders remaining firmly closed. Howard Quayle spoke to Manx Radio's Tim Glover.
As I say, the borders is a key one that we will need to keep. It's our main defence against a second wave of coronavirus or COVID-19, to keep everyone happy who contact me to say you should say COVID-19, not getting back onto the island. The 1936 emergency powers have served us well. They got us through an emergency, but now that we're in a much better place, we've done our utmost to get out of having to use these powers, and that's a commitment I've given to all Timwell members, that the 22nd, 23rd of June is when we're looking to come out of them. Obviously subject to, between now and then, nothing major going wrong with an outbreak, for example.
All along with the ball, well, with various stages of this crisis, you've been very reluctant to give a timeline and dates, but what are you looking for from the UK before you feel that we can even have that discussion about opening the borders again? Where do they need to get to eradicate it?
It might not be a total eradication, but I suppose it's their R rate, the rate of infection, and that they're still around our the closest friend and neighbours in the northwest, still hovering around that one. And really, it needs to be considerably less for us to alter our border control. That said, I think we can look at allowing some of our residents much freer movement off the island, but when they come back, it will be it's the 14-day quarantine, which is a key defence, which has protected us. We have had in the past two people coming to the island that have had coronavirus, but because we had the 14-day quarantine in place, it was caught, it was detected, they didn't pass that infection on to anyone, and I think that is the key element we must retain. Or if a new test comes along that can catch the virus in your body much earlier than when symptoms start to show, then that could be a game changer too on borders.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
Well, if you, like me, enjoy a swim, you'll be happy swimming pools can reopen from Thursday. And many children would have been looking forward to jumping into the NSC leisure pool and hurtling down the flumes, but they'll have to wait a little longer. Dolan Mercer jumps in at the deep end.
On the 14th of December 2017, this announcement was made.
The swimming pools at the National Sports Centre will close for around 8 months next August. The movable floor on the main pool and the flume rides in the leisure pool are 20 years old and now need replacing.
2.5 years later, the NSC flumes are still yet to return. In Timwell Today, Jason Morehouse brought the recurring topic back to the fore.
Allied to our see Minister for Education, Sport and Culture, where the works on the NSC pool and flume will be completed before the reopening, and what the current overspend on this project is.
After the debate, I asked Dr. Alex Allinson for a progress update on the project.
I apologise to everyone for the ongoing problems with the flumes. They have arrived, but when we erected them, there were issues with the substructure supporting them. We've now gone into a plan with the various subcontractors. We are very close to finalising that plan and moving forward to have the flumes up over the summer holidays. One of the questions was when. We are hoping to have those up by the end of the summer holidays, but we'll bring that forward as soon as possible. What we are absolutely committed to, though, is opening the NSC main pool, and we hope to do that by the end of the month.
This is a problem you inherited, obviously, in your position. You said, if you pardon me paraphrasing, it was something that annoyed you or frustrated you as a backbencher. Is that a sentiment you keep now in your ministerial position?
Absolutely. When you go through the history, this has been running over for almost 2 years now, and it's not good enough. I think the people of the Isle of Man deserve far better. What we need to do is move on, get this fixed, but then what I'd like to do as a department and as a government is look at questions in terms of why these problems occurred and make sure that no big infrastructure projects in the future ever goes through the same process.
What's it cost to the taxpayer?
That's a very good question, and that was one of the questions asked in Timwell today. At the moment, we're having detailed negotiations with a number of different subcontractors, and I hope to come back to the House with the total cost, hopefully by the end of the summer.
So, NSC main pool by the end of the month, flumes by the end of the summer holidays, total cost, as yet unknown.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The next departure is Mananan's 10 o'clock Wednesday morning departure, Douglas to Heysham. The fast craft continues to operate daytime sailings to Heysham. Of course, you'll need a mask. The motor ship Ben McCree provides the overnight freight service currently.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
21 minutes to 6 on Update Live from the Isle of Man on Manx Radio. Carrying out contact tracing is no longer a legal requirement for businesses. As lockdown measures effectively come to an end this week, many of the Isle of Man's cafes, gyms and restaurants have been keeping a record of who comes into their premises, either with apps or a register. Our local Democracy reporter Aaron Ibanez spoke to the Information Commissioner Ian McDonald about what the new changes now mean for data collection.
If you're a restaurant and you take bookings, you know, I mean, so I phone up a restaurant and I make a booking in my name for, you know, four people at 7 o'clock on Thursday night, and they ask for a contact telephone number, so they have my home telephone number, my name, and four people. Well, that's sufficient for contact tracing to actually do the job that they need to do if something happens. And that's also something that is quite important to remember. Contact tracing is not new. Public health do contact tracing as part of the job. That's what they've always done.
So in relation to obviously the changes that have come in this week, are you getting inquiries at the commission now from people who've got some sort of contact tracing registry as to what they should be doing with it and whether it's now necessary?
Yeah, we have. We've had people contact us over the last week and a half or so, sort of wondering what it is that they should do. And we actually had to then go look at the government website to see what advice had been there.
So that's your point of reference, the website. I mean, there's no direct contact from government. No one's approached you from government to clarify this.
No, nobody's come and asked us from our perspective what should be there. So we've just checked what's been on the government website as to what the guidance and what, importantly, the regulations said. So, you know, whether there was any legal requirement to collect information, because that's obviously the start point. But obviously with what happens as of Thursday, with everything effectively being removed, and as the new guidance says, there's no legal requirement whatsoever. It's just what records you've already got. But, you know, again, this is not something to be particularly precious about at this moment in time. All we would say to any business at the minute is, do you have for your customer when they come in, if they're in your premises for a lengthy period, do you have a contact number for that customer? Because that's all that contact tracing really requires. It's just a number so they can contact them and find, you know, if there is any need to do so.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
Cross-border travels restarting in parts of Europe that were badly affected by coronavirus. Spain's trialling a new start to tourism ahead of a further relaxation of the measures later this month. The Balearic Islands welcomed 10,000 tourists from Germany, with new rules in place, including a minimum five-night stay in a limited hotel capacity. France is opening its borders to much of Europe without quarantine, although Spanish visitors will have to wait until the 21st of June, and UK arrivals must self-isolate for 14 days, reflecting the policies outlined in those countries. BP is facing a 13.8 billion sterling write-down in the value of its oil and gas assets as it cut its oil price forecast for the next three decades. BP expects Brent crude to average $55 a barrel from now till 2050 due to the enduring economic impact of the pandemic and the global shift to green energy. BP said it'll become a leaner, faster-moving and lower-cost organisation after announcing 10,000 job cuts by the end of 2020.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks rallied as investors reacted to the US Fed's latest announcement. The dollar gained after a record increase in US retail sales in May after two straight months of declines. Oil prices rose as the IEA increased its oil demand forecast for 2020. Gold edged up as concerns over a fresh coronavirus outbreak in China countered pressure from a surge in Wall Street. In corporate news, EasyJet was in focus as it said it would take delivery of 24 Airbus planes between 2025 and 2027. Ashtead rallied after the construction equipment hire firm and fourth quarter profits had halved. Building materials company CRH was a high riser too, with traders pointing to a potential boost from US infrastructure spending. And the numbers now, the close in London, the FTSE 100 was up 3% at 6,242. The DAX in Frankfurt was down 3.5%, up 3.5% at 12,315. In New York City, just after 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 2% at 26,246. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up 1.5% at 9,876. In Chicago, the S&P 500 up 1.75% at 3,120. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 25.7 cents and €1 11.7 cents. And finally, in commodities, gold up 0.08% at $1,726 an ounce. A barrel of Brent crude up 0.75% at $40.10.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsey Crookle, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookle.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
Good evening. It's 14 minutes before six. Tim Baker replied to questionings over the Arup report in flooding in Laxey and the flood protection across the Isle of Man. The flood happened at the start of October last year, and the infrastructure minister listed what work had been done so far to protect Laxey.
Repaired the destroyed sections of Glen Road wall, increased the Glen Road drainage capacity in the area of the police station by around 50%. The drainage capacity has been improved in the area of Main Road, Laxey, at the top of Minorca Hill and at the bottom of Rensell Hill. Extensive ditching and land drainage work has taken place in the Ballarach Road, Gretchfor, Agneish and Baldoon Road areas. Drainage works are taking place in a number of locations on Glen Road and near the Shore Hotel. The department's three current priorities are installing a debris catcher in the Glenroy tributary with construction work planned for this summer, strengthening the remainder of the Glen Road wall with the contract now ready to be placed on the procurement portal, and increasing the capacity of the Gretschweg culvert, for which design work has been completed.
Mr. Baker, who's currently Infrastructure Minister and Chairman of Manx Utilities. That list of current works came from his infrastructure role, but as MU Chair, he reflected on what the government is capable of doing when push came to shove, for instance, in tackling the COVID crisis.
When things are really focused on and they're made an overriding priority, and when you get the right structure behind addressing the issue, then good things happen, and they can happen very, very quickly. And my commitment is to work very much with the Minister for Policy and Reform and the other stakeholders in this to really drive forward some real action on flooding and coastal erosion, because there hasn't been enough activity and enough action. This isn't just a Laxey issue. Unless we collectively respond to this, Laxey could experience something similar again, and so could many other areas of the island. How we address flood risk needs to hugely improve, and that, in my interpretation, my reading of the Arup report, was the overarching conclusion that government needs to really take this issue seriously.
Manx Radio Sport.
12 minutes to six. Fast am I, Ed Oldham.
Fast am I. Rob Watterson, Neil Parsons and Dave Roberts were the men in form at a busy weekend at Airclay Target Club. In fine conditions, Parsons hit a 50 straight to claim top spot in the third round of the Specsavers Summer Down the Line League, pushing Phil Ward into second place and edging out Roberts into third, with Watterson fourth. That secured Watterson the B-class honours, with Peter Lowe continuing his fine form since the restart by topping C-class. The day before, Watterson was the winner of the Deanwood Automatic Ball Trap Competition Round 3, with a score of 44, four ahead of Mark Riley, with Roberts a further shot behind in third. Sporting takes centre stage at the Ayres this coming weekend with a 100 bird selection shoot on Sunday, the first 50 of which doubles up as round 4 of the Summer League. Entries close at 10 a.m. Further afield, former snooker player Willie Thorne has been placed into an induced coma in hospital after suffering respiratory failure. The 66-year-old, who announced he was battling leukemia in March, was taken ill in Spain last week with dangerously low blood pressure. A page set up to help pay for Thorne's treatments has raised more than £17,000. And Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola admits his players will need time to get used to playing matches behind closed doors. The Premier League champions face Arsenal tomorrow night in their first game since the sport was suspended in March. Guardiola says the new normal will take a bit of getting used to.
I think all the people in their own business, in restaurants, in the wherever they have to adapt. Everyone suffered this situation and we have to adapt. And as quick as possible, we'll be better. But I think this is going to happen all the teams in the Premier League.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Let me see, the latest departures from Ronald's Way this afternoon. The 4:40 London Heathrow left 12 minutes late at 8 minutes to 5. And the 10 to 5 of Liverpool left at 2 minutes past 5. Inbound tonight is the 6:40 from Liverpool and the 8 o'clock inbound from Heathrow. On the roads, 40 mile an hour speed restriction from Westwood to Bagarrow for some drainage work. Glen Olden has two-way traffic signals for stonewall repairs. Four roads in Port St Mary's closed between Castletown Road and Beach Road for gas main repairs. Maloo Road by Great Meadow has got a two-way traffic signals for stonewall and railing repairs. Remember, it's Interruption City until Christmas on the promenades in Douglas, Lock, Harris Central and Queens. One-way northbound and associated waiting and turning restrictions. And remember, Glen Crutchery Road with a new bus lane and cycle lane and a delay. And all the information is at manxradio.com. You can check out the prom at myprom.im. And if you want to go to Manx Radio, everything's there. And also on Manx Radio, the community tab, a page of links to 18 webcams across the Isle of Man for a virtual tour.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Sinn Féin's leader says she's disappointed the party's been excluded from a new coalition government in Ireland. The deal between Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens agreed yesterday ends political deadlock since the general election in February of this year. The position of Prime Minister will be rotated between the party leaders. Sky News' Adam Bolton put it to Mary Lou McDonnell that the two main parties regarded Sinn Féin as toxic because of its links with paramilitaries and the actions of the provisional IRA.
The two establishment parties themselves have links to the IRA of old, going back. It's only a question of when. I mean, unfortunately, conflict and division has been a feature of Irish history because of our colonial past, because of the partition of our island. I'm very pleased that we are way past that sadness and we're into an era of peace. The reason, Adam, why the two parties decided to keep us out is not because we're not fit for government, but rather, on the contrary, because we are very fit for government.
Yeah, but just on that point,
in a new direction.
Just on that point, the other two parties have made their position on the paramilitary violence of the past 40 or 50 years quite clear. Sinn Féin's position is that you do support it in terms of its long-term aim, or am I wrong?
We support the peaceful and democratic resolution of the partition of our island. The fact is, and you know them, Adam, we had a conflict, we had a war. That has been an intergenerational experience between Britain and Ireland, well, between the English establishment, more correctly, and Ireland. And I'm very happy that we're in a new dispensation. But if you're asking me directly, do I understand and support the right of Irish people to our freedom and our self-determination? The answer to that is a simple yes. And by the way, all political parties here in Ireland still commemorate and acknowledge those that fought for our freedom. You support
pursuing that aim through terrorism.
We could probably have a very long and ultimately fruitless debate as to who terrorised who and what terrorism constituted on the island of Ireland. I'm a leader now. I'm a leader for this generation and the next. And I am absolutely determined that we lead Ireland, a united Ireland, a fair, a socially just Ireland into the future by peaceful and democratic means.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
6 minutes to six. Manx National Heritage is working with researchers from Bangor and Bournemouth universities to help survey maritime wreck sites across the Irish Sea. The team will use a multi-beam sonar system to provide 3D models of the seafloor in Manx territorial waters, and archive information will be used to help identify sunken vessels. Here's Alison Fox of Manx National Heritage talking about this new frontier.
Manx National Heritage is most well known for our role on land, really, with all the National Trust lands and the historic sites and things like that. But we do have a very rich underwater heritage as well. We have our own Manx territorial sea limit, so there's a lot of heritage underneath the sea that Manx National Heritage has a responsibility to help look after and be custodians for as well.
So what are you hoping to gain, or should I say learn, from this project?
We're going to look at some targets, so obstacles or areas of the seabed where we think there should be a shipwreck, but it hasn't actually been identified yet. And we're going to see if the multi-beam sonar will pick these wreck sites up, and hopefully they'll be in high enough definition for us to try and identify the actual wreck site. There have been at least 1,400 recorded shipwreck sites within Manx territorial waters. Of those 1,400 or so wrecks, only about 90 have been identified. So this project will hopefully enable us to try and identify some of those more intriguing shipwrecks. It'll give us a really good idea of what's happening on the seabed as well. So we'll have a baseline data to show us what state these shipwrecks are in at the moment. And then hopefully if we can have this as an ongoing process, we can build upon that picture of the underwater heritage. It's things like this that we rely on to see the underwater heritage, because it's one of these things that, you know, hardly anybody gets to see. So if we can use the information and the data that Bangor will collect for us, we can also hopefully put that together with some of the amazing resources that we have over here in the National Archives. So ship registers, we have lots of archival photographs of ships, also the crew that were on them. So there's a whole world of potential out there that we can talk about and introduce people to, really.
That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Alex Watton, producer Ewan Gore. And on the way, Greatest Hits with Chris Pearson and the coronavirus update at 7 o'clock tonight. The folk show with Big John Kaneen is at 9. The Late Show with George Ferguson on the way. I'm Andy Winton. Update is back Wednesday evening at 5:30. 28 days.
WINT.